Text 51551. The Late Debate with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
You're very welcome back. You can text the programme 51551. You can WhatsApp 087 032 32 32. I'm with Rory O'Murahu of Sinn Féin, Paula Butterly of Fine Gael, Tadhg McNally is a political reporter with the Irish Examiner, and Sive O'Neill, contributor to the Irish Times and project lead for Feminist Communities for Climate Justice, joins us from our studio in Brussels. Let's turn to that protest that happened in Dublin today, the aim of which was to eliminate violence against women, and the Sinn Féin motion being discussed in relation to this as well, being discussed in the Dáil, Rory, this evening. What is the... You might give us in a few words.
It's Matt Carty's bill. It's really straightforward. It's obviously if somebody is convicted of sexual violence, and like they will have heard the testimonies. I think anyone who was in the AV room, there was a really powerful presentation by women who spoke about obviously their absolute bravery in bringing cases against their abusers, bringing a true court with all the difficulties, and then the fear on the date of the perpetrator's release. And this is about that the court could also impose a restraining order. Basically a protection order that would facilitate the court to give that added bit of protection that they would have to stay away from the victim and from the survivor so they wouldn't be re-traumatised or much worse. Because look, we've all heard really, really terrible situations that women have been put through that are absolutely hellish, and that someone has decided that it was sufficiently bad to put somebody to jail, in some cases for many, many years. So we do not need that when they are released, that is the moment of worry once again for some of these women. So this is a very small protection. It happens in harassment cases, and I am very glad that the government did not oppose it. And in fairness, Paul is on the Justice Committee, and I would like to think this would be facilitated through all other stages.
To do it as quickly as possible.
Exactly.
Let me come to Sive O'Neill, if I may, Paula, for just a second, because the protests today, and in the government not opposing this, but yes, you talk to any woman in the country and they'll say there's a huge amount of work to be done to make her streets and her towns and cities and villages safe. This protection order may help. I'd love to get your opinion. The counselling notes issue is still a huge one, used in court cases. Electronic tagging, so much more to be done.
Oh, absolutely. So the project I'm working for, Feminist Communities for Climate Justice, is actually a project of the National Women's Council and Community Work Ireland. And obviously the National Women's Council have been leading on this issue for a very long time, highlighting that violence against women, including sexual violence and harassment, is really epidemic. In fact, in the protest today, it was reported that around 40% of Irish women have experienced physical violence or threats and or sexual violence by any perpetrator in their lifetime, 40%. I mean, that's just astonishing and totally, totally unacceptable. So what we're dealing here is a kind of a culture problem of the normalization of male violence and objectification of women, and a sort of an entitlement and attitude, and also the legal system. So Matt Carty's bill is another little chink in the wall of the legal system approach. So he's proposing to ensure that all victims of sexual violence, regardless of their relationship with the perpetrator, would have a statutory right to a protection order. And at the moment, the system is geared up in such a way as to make that very difficult to get. And the burden of proof is quite challenging. And obviously,
it's at the discretion of the judge. Is that right?
Well, exactly. And also we need to do everything in our powers, really, to stand with the women that are experiencing violence and the threat of violence or the threat of harassment. So I think it's just really important that we listen to the survivors, the impact that the violence has had on their lives. And we should be asking what supports they need and to try to provide this support. And that's particularly important in the case of domestic abuse, where women are constantly navigating whether or not it's safe for them to even leave, because it's that point of departure that is most dangerous for women, and that's often when violence happens.
Can I ask you about something you said there? That this is part of the normalization of male violence in society, you say. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, that shouldn't come as a surprise. This has been well studied and documented for decades, and it's been highlighted by the women's movement around the world. So the statistics are speak for themselves, that once you ask women about their experience, they're, you know, willing to report it. But the reality is that in the legal system, disclosing an incident of sexual violence is still very difficult and full of shame and trauma and difficulty. You're talking about women feeling fear and distress and terrified of the outcome of what will happen if they do report it. And survivors often feel that they'll be blamed, and sometimes they are blamed, even in the media. So the way in which the law works to protect victims and to secure their safety, both, and I think this is an interesting aspect of the Sinn Féin bill, their online safety, so that images or any kind of text messages and things like that can't be shared after a conviction. So it's very welcome that the spotlight is on that issue today.
Would you agree with all of that, Paula? This culture of objectification of women, and that it makes it extremely difficult, this culture, to report and prosecute a crime of sexual violence?
I would.
In the system we
and,
have.
And there's really no denying it. Like, if we look at the 2024 number, there were 65,000 calls made to An Gardaí Síochána. That's 1,250 a week. That's unacceptable, and it's increasing at an alarming rate. So anything, and I mean anything, that'll strengthen and protect the victims or survivors of sexual or non-gender-based violence has to be welcomed. We have taken, particularly under Minister McEntee, but also Minister O'Callaghan, there has been progress made, but there are a few things that we still have to do to make sure that the victim is at the centre. Very often we've heard testimonies from different women about the ordeal that they've had to go through. And in particular, the counselling notes was a huge issue for the Justice Committee.
So this is just to explain, I'm sure people are very familiar.
Yes.
This is if someone who has suffered, a woman who has suffered a sexual attack, goes to counselling, and then if there is a prosecution in the court case, the defence can procure those counselling notes to check the credibility of whatever is being said, I suppose.
Well, if I give you an example, one of the survivors who I met with and have spoken to a number of times, and this is where it goes to the core of how it can re-traumatise a victim. So,
Further attack.
It's a further attack.
How is it still allowed?
Well, this is why, as the Justice Committee, unanimously we asked that the piece of legislation that is under review, the counselling notes, as I said, there's no middle ground. They cannot be admitted into court. They should not be admitted into court, because quite simply, you're going to re-traumatise the victim. But also, very often, where it comes from is that they'll be asked, because perhaps the DPP has asked for the counselling notes, but then they're unaware until the very last minute that perhaps that then the defence has the right through disclosure to look at that. Yeah. And the idea that
and
the
that
person...
you're saying the survivor of the attack is unaware
survivor,
until the last moment.
At the last,
that is extremely shocking, I would say, and traumatising. Now, the question is, that could have been forbidden with the stroke of a pen. And I just don't know why it hasn't been...
It's an issue that I've raised with the minister myself in the Dáil.
This is something that actually came up in the Dáil today. So it was raised by Holly Cairns, the leader of the Social Democrats, during leaders' questions, who, you know, brought up the issue of counselling notes, and particularly actually brought up a case in West Cork where a young woman of 17 years old was raped by a 24-year-old man just feet from her home. You know, a really, really harrowing case. But she essentially just put on the record that, you know, 52% of women, you know, in Ireland have suffered some kind of sexual violence, you know, and that's, you know, if we look at the population of Ireland, that's over a million women. Mm-hmm. But she put to the minister, to Dara O'Brien, who's standing in for leaders' questions today, and asked essentially, when will the issue of counselling notes be resolved? And we have an answer now that it will be looked at by the Justice Minister, either in a memo going just before the end of the year or early next year. That will be legislation
to
be brought forward.
Progress on really quickly. But then there's electronic tagging of people convicted of serious sexual crimes as well. That was promised, I think, and it hasn't happened yet.
Well, it's just a case of making it right.
come in.
In fairness, it's making sure all of these things happen. And like we're also talking about obviously the huge level of violence that women have suffered, generally at the hands of men. And the fact is we want them to engage with the justice system. And here we have a case particularly in relation to the counselling notes where the justice system is re-traumatising them and is literally proving itself not to be fit for purpose. So we really and truly need to get, you know, offer a fit for purpose system and provide those protections that we can to women who've been through a huge amount. And like we call them survivors, but they have been victims for many years. They have taken a very brave move and we need the state and we need the justice system to meet them halfway.
100%. And listening to some of those women today, and I spoke with Sonia Stokes on the programme on Saturday on Radio 1. And
it's difficult to listen to.
It's lifelong. Yeah. The impact is lifelong.
And
the
don't forget the impact it's having on their families as well, because
Can I come in on that point, actually?
You're okay, and then we'll come back to you.
Just it's the impact that it's having on their families, on their children, how it's going to impact the next generation as well. This morning I was in Drogheda and there was a conference and they were talking about how the abuse women who are subject to alcohol and drug addictions, and they found that 90% of those women have suffered some sort of sexual or domestic violence. So we're talking about not just the attack, not just the after effects of the attack, the fact that they could be as a result of this, they can then fall victim to substance abuse of some sort through no fault of their own.
And multi-generation impact.
And that's going to impact on their children, on their relationships. So we really have to take an approach towards this, not just from a justice perspective. I believe we also have to look at the at a cross-departmental
view. So in a way, it beggars belief that all of those steps that we discussed haven't been addressed before now, because a lot of those people, from having listened to them, see the judicial system, the court system, the prosecutorial system as burdensome, stigmatising and re-traumatising, as you said. So, Si, if you wanted to get in there briefly.
Yes, apologies for interrupting. I was just going to come in on that point about family, the wider family. So there's another additional issue, which is that two parts of the justice system don't seem to talk to each other. So restraining orders are issued under criminal law, but you also have the family courts. So you might have a situation where a partner of a woman is subject to a restraining order and isn't supposed to approach the woman. However, the family courts can still require the woman to give the man access to their children. And this means that she has to come into contact with them. So we have a situation where these orders are inconsistent, and also that sometimes the Gardaí aren't responding quickly enough to domestic violence and failing to enforce the protection order. Sometimes it can be up to 6 weeks before action is taken. And so during that period, as I said, it's a very vulnerable time for women in situations of domestic violence. So there's a lot of things we can do to act more resolutely to defend women in these situations.
Okay. 51551 is the number for your text. You can email latedebate@rte.ie. We'll be back in just a moment, another quick break, and we'll talk about it. I know an awful lot of you already are texting about transport and why our public transport system is so poor and who is responsible. Back in a moment.